I want to greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. It's always such a joy to be in the presence of God and to share with you from God's words. I'm sure that every one of you who are listening to my voice across the landscape of Barbados, we have got something to be thankful for. We've got something to rejoice about this morning. And so therefore, we want to give God all honor, glory, and praise for his goodness towards us. I'm the Reverend Samuel Elcock, Chairman of the Eversley Foundation. And this is the very last Sunday that we would be part of this program. So therefore, I sincerely hope that you have been enjoying the Sundays that would have gone before, and I'm of the view that this Sunday would be no less. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the management of Federal Motor Spirits. We cannot have these programs without reminding ourselves of their generosity and the fact that right down through the years, they have always been so generous to us. I would also want to say that I sincerely hope that God continues to bless the business at Federal Motor Spirits. And for those of you who do not know where the location is, it's on Bankhall Main Road. And these are persons who sell parts for vehicles. So as much as possible, and we can support them as well, I really think that we really do, because they have really, really supported the Church of the Nazarene throughout the years. I just want to share with you for about 5 minutes or so from Psalm 121. And this is a psalm that reminds us, or rather says to us, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And I'm sure that we can share with the writer of that psalm. He was assured of where his help would have come from. He would have been assured of times of difficulty, what direction he was supposed to have focused his attention. And therefore he said, I, which is personal, I will lift my eyes to the hills. Because when I look towards the hills, that is where my strength comes from. So I want to assure all of you who are listening today, regardless to what condition you may be in, regardless to how you are feeling, I want to encourage you, like the psalmist, to say, I will lift my eyes towards the hills, because the hill is where you will get your answer. The hill is the direction of security. Looking towards the hill is where you get solace, you get peace, where you are assured. So you don't need to feel despondent. You don't need to put your hands in the air. You just need to look towards the hill. And so therefore, we want to trust God. We want to continue to lean on his everlasting arm. And if you were focusing in the wrong direction before, I want you to press your restart button and look towards the hill. Because in time of help, in time of need, in time of loss, Jesus Christ is still the answer. And I'm sure that if he's done it for others, he will do it for you. So I trust that those few words would be words of inspiration, words of encouragement, words that assure you, as Jesus would have said, I will never leave you, neither would I forsake you. It is my distinct honor, and when I say distinct honor, I seriously and genuinely mean that. It is my distinct honor this morning to have with me Doctors Margaret Eversley and Schofield Eversley. These are the persons whose names have been called ever so often and associated with the foundation. And I am sure that as we listen to them this morning as it relates to ministry, that there would be an encouragement to persons like myself who is still in ministry, those persons who may feel a little bit discouraged, and those persons who do not understand the challenges that are involved in ministry. So it is really my distinct honor to be with both of these fine persons who I know without any argument would have shared all of their youthfulness, even down to their senior age in ministry. And there are some of you who may not be aware that They are both from St. George. I am also from St. George. And if you're not aware, all of us came through the Church of the Nazarene. So that should say something to you about St. George and the Church of the Nazarene at Newbury. So Dr. Eversley Schofield, Margaret, it's a joy to be with you this morning. And I'm sure that those who are listening would enjoy hearing your voices. Dr. Eversley, I want to share with you, and this is Schofield, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that there are not too many persons who are interested in ministry, at least not pastoral ministry. From your experience and observation, what do you think is responsible for the lack of interest in pastoral ministry at this time?
First of all, let me say good morning to you, my brothers and sisters across the landscape of Barbados and wherever else this program is being heard. And thanks to you, Dr. Elcock, for the interest you have been showing in this program, how you have been leading it, you and other members of the committee. I would want to say this morning that one has to be called to be successful in ministry. And that calling does not come from the general superintendent of the church, district superintendent, or any other person in the church. This is a calling which comes from above. And I am speaking this very seriously and very knowledgeably, because those hearing my voice now might have heard me saying this so many times before. I never had any thought about being a minister. But that first youth camp that was held in Barbados, the plans that I had for a career, I would want to say that the Holy Spirit of God is He who flushed those down, and He showed Himself up. And it was the year after the youth camp that I went off to Trinidad to begin preparing for ministry. So I'm saying that it has to be a call from above. And when God calls and there is obedience to that call, God is He who will give the success to that ministry. And yes, God has given to us wonderful ministries. Not that they were always easy, for any God-given ministry will never be easy. If that be so, it means that the devil is dead, and we know that he's very much alive, and he will do everything to frustrate that ministry. But when we are assured that God has given the call, and we are walking in the footsteps of God, we know that all will be well.
In total, Dr. Eversley, both you and your wife, how many years in ministry we would have been there? Because you still have got to keep counting, because Dr. Margaret is still in ministry. So generally speaking, how many years collectively you all would have been in ministry? Around 55 years represent the age of many of us. Before some persons were born, they started ministry and is still in ministry, and that speaks volume. Both of them could have hung up their boots and retired, but they still continue to minister to the hearts and souls of men. Dr. Margaret, you are still in active ministry. And like I just said, you could have decided, okay, I'm finished with that, because you were a head teacher at one stage and you retired from that. But you still thought it necessary to remain in ministry. How has it been going for you?
Well, I want to say that my present ministry, I don't believe that is necessary, because I thought it necessary because when my husband retired from Western Lake, I thought that, you know, that is the end of our ministry. But somehow, God didn't think so. So He gave direction to the present district superintendent to ask me if he would take up the ministry at Thorpe Scottish. And I didn't say yes right away. I prayed about it. I consulted my husband about it. And we felt that, I consulted the family, not even my husband, my children, etc. And we felt that, you know, as long as the strength is there and the call of God is still on my life, and the call of God doesn't go off the life, but the strength is there and the passion and the willingness, that, you know, I could launch forward. And really, from the very onset of the ministry there at Fox Scottish, God has shown up in several ways. He's shown up for us. He has done more than I expected, as Ephesians 3 said, that he can do abundantly more than we could ask, desire, imagine. And he has shown that the supernatural work of God has been very evident in the ministry, because the church is not completed and we have been continuing building. But we're not only building the physical building, but I've seen growth in the congregation numerically and spiritually. And that's what we are focusing on, because the numerical and spiritual growth are even more important than the very building. So I want to say that God has been guiding and directing, and with the cooperation of persons that came in from other churches to help build, we gave them a name, ambassadors. The DS asked for persons to commit to come to Thoughts College for 2 years, but the pandemic interrupted, so some of them are still there, and some of them even have changed their membership to Thoughts College, felt led to become full members of Thoughts College. So I want to say that, yes, God is with us. His presence is with us. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And even in our senior years, God is using us. They say that even down to old age, when we think of Caleb. Mm-hmm. All right, Caleb was 80 years old, and Caleb said, give me this mountain. All right, he didn't say, give me a valley or give me a little hill. He asked for a mountain. And I'm saying today that although age today is not counted as it was in those days, but, you know, strength was still important. And that is the reason why I'm here, not necessarily because I wanted to be, not that God forced me, but it was in my heart and the passion, and God called me at this point in time. And whenever he ready, he will tell me when it's time to quit. All right?
Thank you. Dr. Edwards Lee has scored 3 to be at that. During your ministry, were there times where you really felt as though you would give up?
I cannot recall a time really when I really felt I would throw the towel, so to speak. But I know, and I believe I alluded to this a little while ago, there have been some very, very challenging times in the ministry. And, you know, there would have been the temptation coming, but I never yielded to such. I never did. Because my take on this is this one. God has called me to ministry. And God is he who will grant the sustenance for ministry as long as I am obedient to him. So notwithstanding the challenges, I have always been determined to move on. But sure, there have been the temptations. And there will always be the temptations to so many ministers. Many have yielded, and they are not where God would want them to be. But yes, there were the temptations. But I persisted because God is more than able. And down to this time, I can still say my God is more than able. There have been some very, very rough patches, Brother Sam, and you who are hearing me. And some of you might know some of those rough patches that we would have had. But God.
And Dr. Murray, we grew up in the era, I'm a minister myself, so I would know of some of the challenges that can be realized in the church. But do you really think that members of churches are really appreciative of the kind of sacrifice and dedication that ministers put into ministry? Do you really think they know the heartaches that one goes through?
Dr. Sam, that is a hard one, because they don't want to be judgmental. So I will have to really answer that in relation to expressions, all right? And when I say expressions, in relation to what you see people do. But I think, though, that all people need to be educated in relation to the sacrifices that ministers make. Mm-hmm. Because many of them, I've seen it, many members are very callous and uncaring. And when you don't meet their needs or meet what they expect from you, they can be so critical and condemning. So I'm just saying that from the standpoint of what I've seen being expressed. But it's not everybody. There's still some lovely people there who understand the minister and show care for the ministers.
Right.
But it needs to be something, I don't want to say taught. The church members need to be exposed to what it is to be a pastor. A pastor is a 24-hour job.
That's right.
All right? It's a 24-hour job. I was a teacher, but my job was not necessarily 24 hours. I would spend extra time preparing and stuff like that. But I wouldn't have parents calling me up any time of night. You should be able to call a pastor any time of night. You have a problem. You may be sick and I'd be run up and gone to people in the night and all those kind of things. It's a 24-hour job. But people don't seem to understand that. They have certain built-in traditional expectations of a pastor, and those need to be broken down. The mindset need to be broken down, and they need to recognize that here, this is a person. I'm not asking to worship pastors, eh? When pastors do foolishness, they deserve to be, you know, I would say rebuked. And the way to do it anyhow is to pray. Instead of getting in a congregational group and deciding to take your own action, I believe the way to go is to pray, and God could change around and turn around whatever the situation is. But I'm not calling for people to worship the pastor, but I'm saying that more appreciation needs to be given to the pastor. Without doubt, I am very, very impressed with the Trinidad district. I can only talk about Trinidad because I lived there 10 years. And every single year, every zone will have a special zone of appreciation for the DS. For the DS. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, and then on the pastoral level, they will have appreciation services for their pastors. Mm-hmm. That is not done here in Barbados. One or two churches I know, I've heard it. We've had it at Bank Hall, or maybe we're at Bank Hall. But it's not a norm, it's not a natural thing. I'm saying that every single year, in my opinion, that I know we give them a little offering at Christmas time or whatever that is, but I feel they need to go beyond a little offering that you put in at Christmas. We need to show appreciation for our pastors. And then I want to talk with the retired pastors though. I'm concerned about the retired pastors and our treatment, because you're old and you get retired, you put in the background. I'm saying that the churches that the pastors retired from or served during the time, at times, could think of doing something for their pastor. You know, sell a little food basket, even sell a little $50, you know, whatever. These are things that we need to be practical about. And I believe that God wants us to do those things, because God's a God who, He gives us the spirit of appreciation. And if He give us, well, that means we need to put it into action. All right? I'm so blessed that Sunday evening we had a wonderful appreciation service for two of our ladies. One who spent 21 years in the missionary department, and the other one who worked as well. It was not only at Fort Scottish. These women were involved in district ministry. Camps from way back there, they were cooking in all the camps and all the conferences and all the whatever we have. And they thought that we should show them appreciation. And we had a beautiful appreciation service on Sunday evening. And I'm saying that this is something that I feel should be done, not only to church members. Yes, church members should be shown appreciation. And it's our second set of appreciation, because they gave awards early in the year. So these are things that we need to spend more time with, as far as I'm concerned, as church members. All right? So I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Eversley. I have now been in ministry for about 36 years. And I think that I have been there long enough to observe a lot of things. And I concur with the comments you would just have made as it relates to the fact that there are persons in every congregation, I believe, who are concerned about their ministers, their care, and their show. But there are so many other members across the landscape. And I don't think it's a necessary and Nazarene thing. I find from speaking with other ministers from other denominations, the similar thing applies. Where the others can't respect, don't careishness. They see the pastor as just somebody who comes and preaches on Sunday morning, and they no more care for him and care for his family when he gets old and retired. He's just abandoned and thrown somewhere, and somebody else replaces him, and he's treated out in some instances as though he never existed. This is one of the things that always bothers me. I think, like you would just have said, our people need to be educated as to the role of the pastor, and do not see him or her as just some person on Sunday morning. I recall from my own experience, 10 o'clock in the night, receiving a call from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital for persons who I did not even know. They were not members of the church, but when they were experiencing challenges and they asked, "You have a pastor?" My name was called. I remember walking through the corridors of the QEH, dark and dismal, going into the ward, especially speaking with a young lady. And every time I attempted to leave, she told me, "Don't leave yet, don't leave yet." And these are things that members of congregation need to understand, that there are things that are done behind the scenes that they are not aware of, and they need to stop taking pastoral ministry for granted and understand the level of responsibility and dedication that the pastor gives. There are lots of things that are expected of the pastor, but one has to ask oneself, what is expected of the congregation? If you, members of the congregation, expect us to love you and to be there for you, you have a responsibility to the pastors. And I think it's about time that somebody makes this abundantly clear. The pastor needs you. You need the pastor in the very same way.
Could I interject something quickly?
Yes.
You asked the first question of the Dr. Eversley about what you think that people are not
sense
of that call to ministry.
Yeah.
God will stop calling people. God still calls. Jesus is still calling. Mm-hmm. But first of all, people have to be in that environment that in which they can realize the call. And secondly, when they look around probably see what goes on and what happens to the ministers, they don't want to be part of that.
Right.
Don't want the young people don't want to be part of that. That's a main factor as to why people are not really gravitating towards our pastoral ministry in years ago.
I sincerely believe that that is one of the major reasons. When they look at the way some ministers were treated, they have purpose in their hearts. I am not going to go through that. Mm-hmm. I remember being the pastor of a certain church, and I heard a lady who we would consider to be an outstanding lady in the church said that her son had expressed an interest in ministry and she discouraged him altogether. And what bothered me at the time was the fact that she wanted somebody to be her pastor, but she did not want her son to be pastor. And so therefore we've got to be very careful how we treat ministry, because we need to understand that God is going to still hold us accountable for all of these things.
Another point I want to make is that it affects the pastor's children.
Yes.
I hear my daughter was talking to me one day and she said, I would never marry a pastor. And I said to her, but suppose this is what God has for you. But she said, I would tell God that you need to change your mind, because I will never, ever marry a pastor. Because when she looked back and see all the struggles we have to go through, and our children have picked it up personally. Our children, you know, has affected them when they look around and see how people would have treated us as ministers and how we worked so hard in the church and the churches that we were in and how the, you know, the kind of things that happen. So these are discouraging factors to other people who want to walk the pastoral path.
I remember I was at a particular church as well, and I came home very late one evening from work, and I did not even have time to change my clothes. And my son asked me, Dad, you leaving again? He would just ask me, Dad, you just came home and you're not even spending a minute, you're back out again? And I was preparing to go to service. So these are things that members of the congregation are not aware of.
Yes.
And they need to know what the life of the pastor is really all about. You know, it is amazing to see how quickly time really go away from us. I'm sure that we would love to spend so much more time with the Eversley so that we can really hear from them and share with them in their experiences. But time is getting away from us so quickly. Dr. Schofield, is there anything you would want to say to us as we look to wind down this program?
I would just want to put all of this in a nutshell. The call of God is paramount. When God calls, we have to respond. I know that the rough knocks that we will get and the temptation will be there, and there will be, you know, sources that will feed that temptation to resist God's call. But the word of God is that which must be preached. And God will always anoint and God will appoint persons to do such. One thing we want to remember, God himself came down in person.
Mm-hmm.
And they treated him, oh Lord, help us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he endured it for the souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
And we who are called by God, we cannot expect to be treated better than our Savior at times.
That's true.
And with that in mind, God is the eternal rewarder. And those who give us a rough time, God will surely deal with such persons. But let us be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Let us be committed to the call of God.
Yes.
The kingdom deserves it.
Amen.
Dr. Margaret, what will be your closing remarks?
My closing remarks would be that I would like to see in the pastoral ministry that we spend more time speaking about God's call, encouraging young people to answer God's call.
Right.
Reverend Goodrich is dead now, but I cannot ever forget him. He always made sure that at least once a quarter or so, he would have a special service mm-hmm. where he would deal with God's call. We need to get back to that because there'll be people there talk environment, all right? Where people can sense the call of God. We have to create that environment as well. We have to create that environment. So I would like to say that we need to create the environment where people can sense God's call.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Margaret and Schofield Eversley. It's really been a joy being with you this morning. Just let me remind those of you who are on the air that this evening at 5 o'clock, I am really encouraging you to join with us at the Western Light Church of the Nazarene. We would be having a very interesting time. The police band are going to be in attendance. The tickets are going very, very quickly. So if you have not had one as yet, you will still be able to pay at the door. So I really am encouraging you to join with us at the Westlake Church of the Nazarene, 5 o'clock, and be a part of the Eversley. You'll be able to see them, those of you who don't know them, and share with them. Father, we thank you for the moments we have spent in your presence. I thank you for the Eversleys, persons I would have known over the years, persons I would have grown to honestly love with the depths of my heart. And I know the other persons across the landscape of Barbados who would say the same. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to bless them, continue to strengthen them, and help them that their lives will continue to impact everyone in whom they come in contact. So we want to say to you, to God be the glory, and we wish those across the island of Barbados a wonderful time of fellowship as they worship God today in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Amen.
Because